Hey, Grace Point family, I am so delighted to be with you today sharing this online worship experience. I know that many of you are beginning to adjust into the routine of fall. It's very different than what we've experienced before, but nevertheless, we're getting into the routine. I want to encourage you to include in your fall routine joining us for a community group. A small group of people that get together to share God's Word and share life together, pray for each other, and celebrate each other, encourage each other in this daily walk of life. So if you'd like to be a part of a community group or be a part of a rooted group, then we would love for you to send us a quick note. We'll be glad to give you information about available groups, groups that are open to new folks joining, and we would love to see you take that next step. We also want to let you know that next Sunday we are beginning a brand new message series. As we were praying and thinking and planning about what God would have us talk about together from His Word, I was reminded of a phrase that I have heard so many times during this weird season of COVID. I've heard people say over and over and over again regarding so many issues, "God, help us." Sometimes people have said it in jest, but most of the time it's been serious when they have said, "God, help us figure out this issue of justice. God, help us figure out how to be safe. God, help us figure out how to value people." On and on we could go with all of the issues that are prominent in our world today. We need God's help. And so starting next weekend, October 4th, we're going to be sharing a series based on that phrase, "God, help us." I want to ask you to tune in if online is where you are joining us for worship. If you want to be with us in person, then there will be worship gatherings at the Owosso campus at 10 a.m. and our St. John's campus at 10 a.m. We'll look forward to you being a part of this brand new series next weekend. Today, we are finishing off our series on the book of Mark. This has been quite the journey. Last Sunday, we talked about Christ's crucifixion, and today, we're going to focus in on the final chapter of the book of Mark, Mark 16. So grab your Bible, open up your phone app to your Bible, and get ready to walk through this final chapter that details the account of Christ's resurrection. As you are finding that passage of Scripture, let me just remind you of a great children's book that many of us read to our kids. It was one of my kids' favorites when they were younger. Alexander and His Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. This little beloved children's book walks us through a day in the life of Alexander that went as bad as it could possibly go. After having all kinds of crazy experiences, Alexander gets to the end of the day and he is so frustrated that he says, "I think I'll just move to Australia." Now, friends, I believe that most of us could say we've had a day or two that probably rivals that of Alexander. We found ourselves in the middle of a day where everything that can go wrong seems to go wrong. We've ended the day so frustrated that we have felt like the only good option might be just to sort of run away and hide. Maybe you've come to the end of a day like that and you have flopped down on the couch at the end of the day and just sort of breathed this sigh, maybe to yourself or maybe to God, maybe to your family. How can anything good come out of a day this messy? How could anything positive come out of a day like today? Well, friends, I want to remind you that while we've all experienced those Alexander kinds of days, bad days, we're not the only people that have ever gone through some tough times. Even though during this pandemic, we've probably said, "How could anything good come out of this? How could anything positive come from this global pandemic?" We're not the only people that have ever experienced dark days. Seasons on this planet. There have been dark days before. But I want to remind you that sometimes the darkest night results in the brightest sunrise. And sometimes the most intense storm results in the most magnificent sunset. Sometimes God uses the darkest night to lead to the brightest days. The people who were living through Jesus' crucifixion on Friday and the dark depression of Saturday, they would have described those days as the most terrible, horrible that anyone could ever imagine. They would have wondered how anything good could possibly emerge from that disaster. But let me say it again. Sometimes the darkest days in history lead to the days that fill every other day with hope. The horror of Christ's crucifixion on Friday and the dark despair of Saturday, it actually led to the resurrection on Sunday morning. And the resurrection infects every other day with hope. I know that you have heard about the resurrection. Even if you're just checking out faith, you've heard about the claims of Christ resurrecting. Many of you could repeat the events by heart. But I'd like for you to look with me again at Mark chapter 16. These women are talked about at the very beginning of the chapter. Mary of Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome. They're talked about buying spices on Saturday night to go and anoint Jesus' body the next day on Sunday morning. And we're told in verse 2 that very early on Sunday morning, just as the darkness of Saturday is being chased away by the sunshine of Sunday, they're walking to the tomb. And the walk of these women to the tomb would not have been filled with a lot of funny stories and laughter. This would have been a tear-filled, sorrow-filled walk. As they walk, they don't know that the resurrection has happened. They're not hoping for an empty tomb. They have absolutely no idea that the grave has already been vacated by Jesus. Now, there was a time when they would have hoped for such things, but not after watching Jesus die on the cross and watching Him be buried in the tomb. You see, they had seen Jesus' feet that had once walked on water. They had seen them nailed to a cross. They had seen the hands that had healed lepers be stilled with nails. All of those noble aspirations that Christ had talked about, they had seen them nailed into a cross. And they had come to this place of the tomb, walking with sorrow, walking with oil to anoint the cold body of a dead Jesus. They were thinking that they would bid farewell to the one who had once given them so much hope. At some point as they're walking along, we're told in verse 3 that they begin to ask some questions. And the question that's prominent in their mind is simply this: who will roll away the stone from the entrance of this tomb? They had a big problem. All three of them would not be able together to be able to move this stone. It was sealing the entrance, and there was no way that they were going to be able to get to Jesus because there was a boulder blocking the way. And so they talk, it says, discuss amongst themselves. They keep asking, who is going to move the stone? Now, could I remind you that these three women were committed followers of Jesus? They had seen the miracles. They had heard Him preach. They knew the promises, but they had watched Him die, and now there's a stone blocking them from being able to get to Jesus. And even though they had seen and heard so much, they found themselves now with a roadblock to actually being able to see Jesus. And I think sometimes we find ourselves in the same predicament. There's something that's standing in the way from you and I really experiencing Jesus in our lives. Maybe we've already made a decision that we believe and we're following Christ, but there's something in the way that keeps us from really experiencing the life that Jesus died and rose again to give us. In the case of these women, it's a big old cold stone. And there may be things in our life that may not be a physical stone, but they keep us from really experiencing Jesus. The first step that these women had to take was realizing that there was a stone. There was something there in the way. And that's what you and I have to do if we're going to find Jesus and experience the life He died and rose again to give us. We have to recognize that sometimes in our lives, there are stones that keep us from experiencing life to the fullest. These stones can look like so many things in our life. It could look like fear. Fear that we have inside of us. Fear that causes us to question whether we can truly believe, whether we can really take the risk. Fear of what others might think. Fear of how our life would be changed if we really stepped across the line of faith. It could be fear from outside circumstances. Fear of a pandemic. Fear of our safety. Fear of the crowds. Fears on the outside that cause us from being able to step forward and really open our heart to what Jesus wants to do in us. Discouragement could be a roadblock for us. These women certainly experienced discouragement. They experienced downright despair. And discouragement in our lives can sap our strength. It can cause us to believe that we can't hardly take one step farther. We can't put one foot in front of the other. And when we just stop. Maybe you've experienced so much disillusionment during this time of COVID, life being so turned upside down, that you've wondered if it's worth living anymore. And that disillusionment has caused you to not be able to truly see Jesus. It's in the way. The CDC reports that during the month of June this year, 25% of young adults between the age of 18 and 24 said they were so disillusioned with life that they seriously contemplated suicide. Disillusionment, a stone that can keep us from experiencing life the way that God intended for us to experience it. Sometimes conflict, relationship conflict, can be a huge boulder that just blocks our pathway. Do you know the number of people seeking divorce was 34% higher this March through June than compared to 2019? This pandemic has brought to the surface so many issues that can cause us to not be able to go forward in our lives. We get stuck. We get stopped. Addiction can be a roadblock. It keeps us from moving forward. Sometimes we feel so much shame from things that have happened in our life that we feel like we're not worthy of Jesus' love. Maybe it's pride. I don't know. There are so many things that can block us from experiencing all that Jesus died and rose again to give us. And the first step to dealing with all of those issues is to recognize that they're there. Just like these women, to recognize there's a stone that needs to be moved in our lives. The beautiful thing about this story of the resurrection is that these women discover that as they get to the tomb, the stone has already been moved. Look at verse 4. It says, as they arrived, they look up and saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. And they enter the tomb and they see a young man, an angel, clothed in white. And he's sitting on the right side, and the women are shocked. But the angel says, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who's been crucified, but he isn't here. He has risen from the dead. See, these women discovered that the thing that was blocking them from Jesus had actually already been taken care of by Jesus. And you and I have to come to the place where we realize that only the resurrection power of Jesus can actually move the stone. These women, they were keenly aware of the fact that the stone was too big for them. But in the middle of their despair, God was working. In the middle of their walk, God was working, and the stone was already moved when they arrived at the tomb. The power of God had already taken care of the problem so that these women could know that Jesus was alive. They knew in this moment, like never before, that only God could deal with what was blocking their pathway. I think sometimes we as followers of Jesus, we get so taken up with all of the routine of following, the ritual, you might say, of following Jesus, the things we're supposed to do and the things we're not supposed to do, the prayers that we want to pray and the scripture that needs to be read, and engaging with our church family in person or online and being a part of a community group. We get so taken up with all of the routine and ritual of following Jesus that we forget what's most important in our life is the power of Jesus at work. I was reminded as I thought about this truth about how a small child is so dependent on their parents. And they're very aware of it. They know that they need to cry when they're hungry and when their diaper needs to be changed. It's not stuff they can take care of themselves. And so they let you know they need help. They're aware that they are dependent on others. And then they grow up a little bit, and even as they start to walk, they know that they need your help. And so they reach out their hands, and if they want to be picked up, they'll come up to you and they'll lift their hands up and ask to be picked up. They want your help because they know they are very dependent. But as they grow, they get more independent. And they begin to say things like, no, I do it. I don't want your help. I want to do it. They become more independent. And that's a good thing in the physical world. In the physical world, we should grow from dependent to independent. But that's not the case in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, you and I should be people that move from independent to dependent on God. We become very aware of the fact that there's stuff in life that we cannot deal with on our own. We need the power of God at work in us and through us. And so as we follow Jesus, we remember that we need to move from just being people who are doing it our own way. And we know the things that should be said. We know the things that should be done. We know the prayers that should be prayed. But those things are not what's most important. What's most important is you and I opening our hearts to allow the power of God to deal with the stuff that keeps us from truly experiencing all that Jesus died and rose again for you and for me. I think it's interesting that even as these women realize the stone has been rolled away, and even as they discover that Jesus is alive, they still are not sure how to navigate through this. They've never experienced anything like this before. No one has in the history of the world. And so they're trying to figure out how to process all of this. And we're told initially that they are frightened, they are trembling, they are bewildered. They don't know how to process this. They don't even know what to do with it. As we read through the chapter, we discover that Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. And the other Gospels confirm the accounts of Mark and Peter about Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene and the other disciples and followers of His. And He gives them a mission by which to live, and their whole life is changed. They move from being people who are bewildered and afraid to people who live on a mission to share the good news of Jesus with the entire world. Until they experienced and responded to Jesus personally, the resurrected Jesus personally, they couldn't experience all the hope, all the joy, all the purpose for life. And they discovered that they could really hope again when they experienced Jesus personally. That moment of seeing Jesus, their faith was reignited. Hope began to prevail in their hearts again, and they realized that they had a reason to live. these men and women discovered that the darkest day of Friday and Saturday led to the brightest day of Resurrection Sunday. They discovered that the stone that blocked them from seeing Jesus could be moved away through the power of Christ. Now, friends, you may find yourself with feelings similar to the followers of Jesus on Saturday. You may be overwhelmed. You may look at your life and see that up there there's a great big boulder of fear or despair or depression or disillusionment or conflict or addiction. And I want to remind you today that Jesus still moves stones. Don't give up. You may find yourself asking the question these women asked: who's going to deal with this? You may have tried everything you know to try. You may have gone to every counselor that you can imagine, tried every doctor. You may have had conversation after conversation after conversation. You've come to the realization that if this thing that's blocking your pathway is actually going to be moved, it's going to take the power of God. And I want to invite you, for whatever that is, to just give that to God. God, I need you to be at work in this area of my life. Every marriage on the brink of imploding has asked the question, who's going to move the stone? Jesus can. Every addict that has struggled in the throes of addiction has wondered, who in the world can break through this bondage? Jesus can. Every family that has found it divided against itself has asked, how are we ever going to get rid of the conflict and move beyond it? Jesus has the power to help you. Every business owner that's been struggling to know what's the next step to take, looking for clarity, Jesus offers to walk that journey with you and give you His wisdom and strength. Wherever you find yourself today facing a roadblock, I want to remind you that Jesus still moves stones. And I want to invite you just to spend a moment with me in prayer. Maybe with the people who are joining you as you watch this experience today. To just join with them in prayer that Jesus would be able to move the stone that's blocking you from experiencing all that He intended you to experience. And after you and I spend a moment just in prayerful reflection, we're going to ask that you join us in an amazing song that reminds us that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that moved that stone, is the power that is at work in our lives today. So would you quietly give Jesus the stones that are blocking your road today? Let's pray together.